Well, welcome back, listeners, to Faith in Action here on Siouxland Catholic Radio. I am Lisa Niebuhr in for Joanne Fox, and today we are so honored to have the guest speaker for the Diocese of Sioux City's Men's Conference coming up on April 2nd in La Mars. And our guest speaker this year was supposed to have come a couple years ago, and we are so delighted that now that COVID is, or let's say, now that we're getting through COVID and life is returning back to normal, that we have this incredible young man here to speak with us. And Deacon Harold, recently you, and during our break, we were talking about the state of the Catholic Church and your recent presentation in Oregon. Tell us, Deacon, from your perspective, where are we at with the church today? Because with your coming, things have changed. And so we'd love to hear your perspective as to where we are in 2022.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about this whole COVID thing. You know, this was something that shut the world down. I mean, because we've had types of coronaviruses in the past, right? H1N1, SARS, West Nile. But they didn't shut the world down like this did. And I think, in a sense, this is kind of a spiritual stop sign. You know, because when you drive your car, you get to a stop sign, you're supposed to stop, and you look both ways. And then you proceed. And I think this was a spiritual, COVID is a spiritual stop sign from God. You know, it's like, okay, everybody stop. Take a look left. You know, this is a time to discern where am I right now in my walk with God? Where am I in my faith life? Where am I as a man and woman of God right now? You know, and you look right, where am I going? Where is my life leading? Am I doing the things that are leading me to deeper intimacy with the Lord? Am I fulfilling God's will in my life? Am I becoming who God created me to be? I mean, this is a time for some serious introspection, you know. And so we had time to do that. So I'm hoping that people took this time not just to be panicked and be scared, but to really discern the power of God's love working in their life. You know, to take time to pray more, to take time to read Scripture more, to take time to tell the people in your life that you'll love them, you know, to call that person you've been dying to call for whoever. Oh, yeah, I'll call them tomorrow. I'll put it off. No, don't put it off. You know, tell the person how you feel. I mean, these are opportunities, I think, that God has given us to grow. And even as a church, I mean, before COVID, 69% of people didn't believe that Jesus Christ was present in the Eucharist. You know, before COVID, the age where a young person decides, they make the intellectual decision that I am no longer Catholic, is 13 years old. So they've already effectively left the church before they even left their parents' house. You know, and so in the midst of all of that, you know, what can we do? And I think two things. I think we need a Eucharistic Renaissance. You know, back in the 11th century, the first person who denied that Jesus was present in Eucharist was not Luther, right, in the 16th century. It was a guy named Berengarius of Tours in France, who was a deacon. I hate to admit that, but it's true. He was the first one to publicly deny Jesus was not present in the Eucharist. And after that, the Pope schooled him, and Berengarius did eventually come back to the church after signing an oath of fidelity. But that kicked off a 200-year Eucharistic Renaissance. We saw massive increases in devotion to the Eucharist, the monstrance, and Eucharistic processions. In the 13th century, St. Thomas Aquinas writing Panis Angelicus, Tantum Ergo, O Salutaris, you know, beautiful devotions to the Eucharist. And I think that's exactly what we need now. We need a Eucharistic revival. We need people to fall in love with their faith and with Jesus again. And look, I've been traveling around since the end of August of last year, and I'm finding, anecdotally, about half of the people are coming back to Mass. Now, in some places, obviously, it's more, you know, in some places, it's less. But on average, I'm seeing about half of people that were attending Mass previously are coming back now after COVID. You know, and I think this Eucharistic Renaissance and revival is exactly what we need. That's the first leg. I think the second part of it is, you know, we have a tremendous issues with race in this country. and people, I thought we were past that. I thought we were past that. No, but look, we have human beings made, you know, in the image and likeness of God, and we're also sinful, right? So sometimes those two things clash. And I think this is an opportunity in the issue of race for the Catholic Church to take the lead, because we're often, let's be honest, we're often a church that is reactive and not proactive. So, for example, when the whole marriage thing was going on, debating what marriage is and what it isn't, you know, we did not have a very strong voice as a church. So when the Supreme Court, the Obergefell decision came, and they so-called redefined marriage, although we know they didn't redefine anything, because God determines what marriage is, not a court. But what was our response to the church? We sent out statements. You know, we sent out press release. That's too late. You know, we need to get ahead of these things. And I get it. The bishops are skittish because of the sex abuse thing, and their credibility is shot. I get it. But that's why I think when it comes to issues of race, this needs to be grassroots from the parish level. And so the other thing I did was I developed a talk on, it's called Building a Civilization of Love, and that title comes from a statement by John Paul II in his letter to families about building civilization of love through the family, a Catholic response to racism, where I outline how the Catholic Church can take the lead in this issue and get in front of it, and specifically how we can do that as a church to close the racial divide.
And Deacon, this not only can apply to our brothers and sisters who are African American, but it applies to all of us, that we are all made in God's eyes, and we're all unique and different. And whether I am as eloquent as you are, or as beautiful as your wife and educated, these same principles can be applied to everything that we do in our life. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's not a black Catholic response to racism, it's a Catholic response to racism, right? So it's addressing all people of different races and nationalities, and about, you know, because we're all part of the one body of Christ. Christ prayed in John's Gospel in his Last Supper discourse, right? He prayed that, Father, they may be one, as you are one and I are one, right? So he prayed for unity. And there's so much division. And we talk about canceling and deplatforming and, virtue signaling, all these different things that's going on in the culture right now. How do we combat that, where there's so much division? And the problem is also that there's no leadership in this area of race. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, there was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who cut through the politics of liberal and conservative and Democrat and Republican and black and white and Hispanic and all, because he had a message that brought people together, that cut through all of the divisiveness, and he was a voice that people could rally around. There's no one like that today. So in the midst of that leadership vacuum, in the midst of that void, you have voices and organizations of people that are trying, that it's a veneer of race on the outside, but obviously have other agendas that have nothing to do with bringing people together. And that's why I think this is a tremendous opportunity for the Catholic Church right now to be the leader in this issue of racial unity.
Well, Deacon Harold Burke Sievers, you said two things that I think our listeners are going to love most. We want our listeners, Deacon, you are coming on April 2nd to the Men's Conference. You are bringing people together of various races from throughout the Diocese of Sioux City, from young men to young men at heart, and to have that opportunity to get to hear you. We have had that spiritual stop sign. And now, gentlemen, I want you to go. I want you to go to the Diocese of Men's or Diocese of Sioux City's website, register to hear Deacon Harold Burke Sievers on April 2nd in Lamar's. You are going to get to hear from a young man who at a young age had the enthusiasm of sitting right there on the edge of the pew, ready to serve God. And today he is serving God as that diaconate, as that leader, helping us all grow closer to Christ. Gentlemen, as fathers and heads of our households, to be able to help us take our world into the next year. And Deacon Harold Burke, we cannot thank you enough for coming back, and we are sorry COVID delayed you, but we are so excited to have you come.
Well, thank you. I'm very much looking forward to it. I look forward to seeing all the men there.
And just a reminder, gentlemen, April 2nd, the Diocese of Sioux City's Men's Conference, Deacon Harold Burke-Seaver is coming to hear us. Register today. There is an early bird registration fee or an early bird discount. And if not, please get on and don't miss out on this opportunity and bring your fathers and sons. And again, thank you so much, Deacon Harold Burke-Seaver. And remember, listeners, if you'd like to register for the Men's Conference, go to the Diocese of Sioux City's website. The Men's Conference is Saturday, April 2nd, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at All Saints Parish in Lamars. The registration fee is $40. If you register by March 26th, the registration fee is $50 after March 26th, and there is a discount for fathers and sons. In addition to Deacon Harold Burke-Seaver, we are excited to have several other dynamic speakers. Outcast Catholics, very own Father Shane Demon, and Draw Near's Fred Schellebarger, Deacon Rick Roeder, and Sister Anne Marie Walsh. All at the Diocese of Sioux City's Men's Conference, Saturday, April 2nd at All Saints Parish in Lamars. And remember, listeners, a faithful reaction can be good, but faith in action is even better. Thanks for listening.